beginning tonight, for the next 3 months, all our messages will be based on the reading from Daily Remembrance on the night of the same date. So tonight's title is taken from Daily Remembrance, 7th October, Evening Reading, written by Pastor James Smith of London, 1840. Pastor Smith was concerned with his people. Listening to the morning sermon was not enough. So he wrote, for his people, for their spiritual nourishment. For how can it be enough just to have one Sunday message and you wait for 7 days? So Pastor James Smith wrote, morning and evening, and what we have here is the evening reading for the 7th of October. The story of Job is well known. I dare say in all of history, it is hard to find anyone whose suffering was like Job's. He lost everything. And when you have lost health and loved ones, at least if there is someone close to you to sympathize, to come and comfort you, at least you have somebody to fall back on, but not Job. His friends who had come to comfort him turned out to be more of a tormentor, for they kept on finding fault with him. Surely, no one should suffer those things you are suffering unless there is some hidden sin. And so there was a great tussle between them. But deep in his heart, Job knew his integrity was upright. Surely God is on his side. So I have here the reading from James Smith for the day. For our instruction as we open tonight's topic. October 7th evening, the title is, I Shall Come Forth as Gold. Is there anyone here who has been through that kind of a suffering? The testing can be very difficult. Even as lately I have been ministering in prayer to a certain cousin of mine, and his problem is quite bad. Now, this man, Job, says in the midst of all his troubles, he says, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Remember, Job was probably contemporary of the time of Abraham, when men used to live around 200 and more years old. At that time, there was no Bible, no church, no other Christians, elders, pastors, we may come along and comfort and pray together. No such thing. And what do you think of the God that was dealing with Job? What do you know of God? Somebody who is so great and mighty, who is perhaps very far away, perhaps in some ways impersonal. And what does he know more about him? Very little, except that he will punish those who offend him. So here he says, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. I'm groaning, but actually, I'm groaning from a stroke that has been far more than I can bear, maybe than I deserve. That's what it means here. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Try and picture Job groaning away on an ash heap with three of his so-called comforters around him, posing hard questions and taunting him. So, Pastor James Smith says, Job's complaint was bitter. Understandable. Sometimes we too, when the testing is hard, we complain bitterly. The furnace of affliction was hot, heated seven times hotter than usual. But Job was conscious of his own integrity. Dear friends, under the stress of testing and trial of the Lord Almighty, it is to show us our own frailty and the hidden sins which we may be harboring. In his case, there was none. He was sure. He was upright. Although he may be imperfect, yet he was sincere. He hid nothing. He knew he had a living Redeemer, and that his God knew his heart, his motives. Dear friends, we sit here in cool air-conditioned comfort with padded cushion. There is Job with nothing. Even his wife had turned against him, and he had lost his health and all his family, children, 10 of them, plus his belongings. What a sad state of affairs. Under those circumstances, there was only God dealing with him. And you face up to God. What do you say to God? Job knew he had a living Savior. And he knew that his God knew his heart. For truly, let us always be conscious of this. The God whom we profess to serve knows us through and through. There is nothing we can hide from him. No use trying to. He knows us. And he knows his heart and his motives, his desires, and the pathway he's taken. Therefore, he felt confident that he would not be consumed in God's furnace of testing. The fire is hot, as it were. But in the suffering, God gives him the confidence, this is a testing. It will not burn you up and destroy you. This is what Pastor Smith says. He would not be consumed. God's furnace of testing is only to refine. There is a difference. Consume means burn and become nothing, gone, all, nothing left. But here is refinement. This is the design of all of God's trials, dear friends. When we go through trial of sickness, accident, hospitalization, and you wake up in hospital bed, strapped down with drips going, unable to move, wondering, will I survive? Then understand, God has a design. Because you are a child of God, He has some wonderful plan for you. Why? He is my Father, my Heavenly Father. Surely He has my interest at heart. So this is the design of all of God's trials. Provided you are his child. These are to make us fit for the Master's use. The Lord has use for you. Perhaps you have never thought that God can use you. Now, through this trial, you ask yourself, perhaps God has some use for me, but I'm not quite fitted for you. There is still sin that obstructs and hinders me, that cripples me from serving Him. Now is the testing that is to rid me of all these impediments. So, Pastor Smith says, these are to make you fit for the Master's use and to reflect on the Savior's image. We all understand the purity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for He is the very image of God. But the problem is, we know, but how many of us consciously learn to be like Him, to reflect His image, until we are put into the hospital bed? Then God begins to work in us and to try us and to test us and to refine. This is the meaning of this refining fire of God, so as to fit us for eternal glory. Please, all of us are on our way to that eternal home. But before we arrive there, God has better plans for all of us. Not the humdrum daily routine life, just plodding along and neither getting better nor worse. In fact, if anything, we backslide. Then God comes along. And there we are, strapped down to the hospital bed. Why? However fierce the fire, we shall lose nothing but our dross. Few of us have seen how gold is purified. But in the old-fashioned method, there is a blow lamp, and the furnace is heated by added oxygen, and the fire is hotter and hotter, and the gold goes into the fire, and the gold melts. And out of the melted gold comes the dross, impurities. That's it. That's you and me. In the fire of testing, when you say, Lord, why am I here? Why am I sick? Why am I here? Strapped down, unable to move, and all I have is to depend on the doctors to keep me alive. But I know my ultimate doctor is the Lord Jesus. Whether I live, whether I die, He knows. And He has a purpose and a plan. So however fierce the fire, however long the testing, the only thing you can lose through this fire is your dross, the impurities, the sins that so easily beset us. These are the impurities that will be burned up. And nothing can get rid of them because they are so tenacious. So many of us go on life hooked by those sins, those habitual sins, very hard to get rid of until the fire comes. And then, even unconsciously, even through prayer, and you are not aware of it, you say, Lord, please help me. If you spare me through this trial, I will surely give up those unwholesome habits and practices, whatever they are. Only you know, only the Lord knows, but God has a plan. So continue to read here. However fierce the fire, you lose nothing but the dross. So, if you go through such a testing, persevere patiently, look to the Lord and say, Lord, what is the meaning? What is your purpose? There cannot be nothing. for he loves you. Yes, our eternal interests are safe in the arms of our Lord and Savior because he is also our Heavenly Father. And he is concerned, and he's caring for you, and he's in charge of the whole operation of this refining fire, you know. It's not haphazard, it's no accident, but our Lord sits there in full control, controlling the fire, controlling the process. He is the refiner, and he is in charge of you, your life. Whatever it is, he knows. And your eternal interests are safe. All that he wants is that my child reflect my image. This year, we had adopted a theme verse. My little children, of whom I travel in birth, until Christ be formed in you. This is the plan. This is the desire of our Lord and Savior, that we all be refined. And in the process, gain the image of the Lord Jesus in us. To look like him. To be like him. To look like him in the purity. In our loving kindness one to another. In the daily seeking for things of eternal value. These things don't come easy, but they are part of God's plan for you. Our God is immutable. He does not change. The God who was trying Job is the same God who tries us. The same God. Only thing is, Job's time, they did not understand very much. Today, we understand much more because of the scriptures. That's why Hebrews 12 says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Even as a father chastens the son of his love. Job didn't know that. Job had only an image, an idea. Oh, God is somebody so powerful, almighty. And when he hits me, it's very hard. What is the meaning of this? But I know when he has tested me and tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Here is this confidence. Thank God for that. There is Job. But for us, we have the advantage and the instruction of Holy Scripture. So our God is unchangeable. The same God testing Job is the God who tests you and me. You never know when next you will be sick, when next you will be tested, when next you will be meet an accident, and then you are unable and disabled. Then you come face to face with the Redeemer. Then you begin to realize he has a plan for you. He has something good for you. Something which you could not learn otherwise. But it needs patience. It needs spiritual understanding. He says to us, I am Jehovah. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Please understand, no matter what trial you go through, the fires of testing will never destroy you, never. Only trust in the Lord. Keep on believing. Jesus is near. Keep on believing. There's nothing to fear. So we see Jesus. He sits by the furnace. He is in control. He is the refiner. He superintends the whole process of purification and removes the fire the moment his design is accomplished, no longer than necessary. We have a loving, wonderful God. who cares for us to every minute detail. Only put your faith and your trust in Him every day as you walk and say, Lord, I know I need Thee. I know I'm a sinner and many sins have yet to be cleansed. Pray that prayer and see if God will not come with a refining fire and cleanse it from you by a sickness, possibly. Every time I'm hit and struck down, even this time with this Australian flu, the bug that hit me, goes on in my mind all the time. Lord, what is your purpose? It cannot be for nothing. To remind me that this body is perishing. And unless we are refined, how can we see God? He has a purpose for you, use for you. He wants to reflect the holiness of Jesus Christ Himself. Tried Christian, says Pastor James Smith, your God is refining you through your sickness, through whatever it is. His design is most loving. It may seem cruel. Why should God send me here to suffer? Why me? Please remember His designs are perfect and loving. He takes care of you. Let not your faith flag or your courage droop. But say with Job, He knows the way that I take. When He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Amen. The book of Hebrews has precious lessons that reflect the suffering of Job. For some of us here, will you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, the second part of it. About the middle of the verse. Hebrews 12, verse 5. The Word of God speaks to us as unto children. Are you a child of God? Here is a message for you. My son, my daughter, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. Why? For you have become His child ever since the day you came to salvation in Jesus Christ. And then you are in the family. And you're in the special group that God takes special attention and care over you. You are a child of His care. He loves you. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, He chasteneth. Oh, therefore do not be faint-hearted and discouraged, for He scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. He has received you as a son. You come into that special circle of those earmarked for personal attention. God is concerned. My child, you will not stagnate just there. But there is a higher plane you must aim for. And I'll help you by the chastisement, chastening, scourging. And that's good for you. Every child, when it is from the hand of God, say, Lord, I may not understand it fully, but thank you. Thank you that it is from your hand. Verse 7. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, meaning to say you're not part of the family. God does not really care for those who are outcasts, outside the realm of sons. So when you are receiving these chastisements from God and you know it is for your good, be thankful. Be thankful. Verse 10. For they, the earthly parents, verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. So it is. They are imperfect earthly parents, and they chasten their children in order to please themselves, that the sons may grow to be like them, imperfect. But our Heavenly Father, for our profit, He knows best what is good for you and for me, that we might be partakers of His holiness, that all those blotches, the dross and the impurities may be burned away. Nothing else can but God's refining fire. Verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, so it is. When we suffer, and we suffer long, we learn to pray, and we learn to pray long. And we learn to persevere in prayer. Our problem is not that we don't pray, but we pray so little, and we pray so short, so inconsequential. That is our problem. You realize it? Of course. In our quiet moments, we all understand this. But then God sends chastisement that we all wake up and learn to pray, learn to persevere, to wrestle in prayer until answer comes. And then you find, hey, that sin has dropped off. No longer the desire to want to do those things anymore. How did it happen? God works in mysterious ways. You try it. Persevere. In prayer, in the midst of the night, wake up and ask yourself, where? Is there some area in your life you need to be chastened? Pray for it. God will do it for you. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, wonderful promise. I say, this kind of experience comes only to some. And is only understood by those who go through it. That sin may be so tenacious, especially sins of the flesh and of the sex. And God sends you a testing. And then when you persevere, say, God, please, I want to be like the Lord Jesus, pure, sinless and holy for your use. God will answer that prayer, and He sends you chastening. For the moment, grievous. But afterward, read on, please. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them who are exercised thereby. To them who receive that kind of refining fire, not pleasant at all. When you're going through it, you oftentimes, many a time, you say, I wish it were over. But God has a plan. Then I want to conclude with that thorn in the flesh that we all heard about, that Paul talks of himself. Will you turn with me for a short while? 2 Corinthians. Chapter 12. Here the great apostle himself went through a time of chastening, a time of the refining fire of God, and he describes it for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7. Here he says, unless I should be exalted above measure, meaning to say, oh, there is even the threat of pride, that he is elevated above the rest, and then it's in case it goes to his head. Oh, it's so easy, isn't it? Pride. He says, in case I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, God took him to the third heaven, and he saw and he heard things unutterable, things which no other human had ever seen or heard but to him. And those things may inflate him. And God sent him a thorn in the flesh. There was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. What it is not revealed to us, but surely it is not something pleasant, something that irks him, that reminds him, Paul, you are just another servant of mine. You're very human. And in case you get too proud, this is to keep reminding you, the thorn in your flesh reminds you you are just another human. God has greater things for you, and you must not fall. You must not become too proud. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord 3 times. Lord, take it away, depart from me this thing. But the Lord says, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee. You suffer, Paul. It is good for you. So to some of us here, it may be some infirmity somewhere, even growing old and getting tired and sick easily. These things that do remind us, inward man is renewed while the outward man perish. Our time on earth is not forever, and therefore recognize our frailty. While we are here, let God use us. But God cannot use the proud and self-complacent servant. So God says, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Suffer, therefore. Most gladly, therefore, can we all say this? All of us. Most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities. We are not as strong as before. Those days you used to run, go around the world, carrying your own suitcase, no longer. But then God has a better plan. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. To know that while I grow weaker, while you grow weaker, who is growing stronger? None of us. As we grow weaker in your infirmity, therein is the power of Christ manifested in your body, that we may all rest upon Christ. Verse 10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, in sicknesses, in sufferings, for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then am I strong. The story of Job, the story of human suffering, the story of a child of God going through terrible sufferings, as I mentioned earlier on. This cousin of mine, I phone him from time to time, and he says, ever since that radiotherapy, one night I have to wake up 15 to 20 times just to get the water out. And that is a recurrent thing. The doctors can't do anything. All they can do is to put in the tube inside and help me. And so you go through this. I say, in the process, there is a great soul searching. God refines us through those nights of suffering, hardly asleep, but then the soul is purified because the Lord can do things through those moments which He cannot do otherwise. We want to sing the song in closing. We all have that song. I'll read it for you. God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying His servant and molding a man, who is the man? Are you the one? God is molding you, trying you, testing you, putting you through those paces, and you don't like it? Read again. God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying you, His servant molding a man. Give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness He giveth a song. Stanza 2. I could not see through the shadows ahead. God does not reveal to you, but God speaks to you in the quietness of the night. I say, sometimes when you cannot sleep, don't just lie in bed, but get up and pray and ask the Lord to show you His plan, His purpose. He can use you. So many of us are not being used of God at all, simply because we are not fit to be used. But may God deal with us. So I looked at the cross of my Savior instead. I bowed to the will of the Master that day. That's it. Too often we dictate our own lives, our own will, without reference to the will of God. On that day it says, I looked to the Savior and to the will of the Master that day. Then peace came and tears fled away. Stanza 3. Now I can see testing comes from above. To every child of God, understand that the testing has a purpose, and the testing comes from above for your good. Only rebel not, but say, Lord, show to me, where is that plan? Where is that sin, that dross that needs to be burned away until it's pure gold? And the Savior says, my child, be patient. You want me to stop the fire? Only when I can see my face reflected in the pure gold and all the dross is removed, the fire will cease. Now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens His children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in His care through purging. Purging is not a nice word, but it has got a powerful meaning, and it is good for us that we be purged, that we may bear more fruit for Him. Let us arise to sing this beautiful song. Rejoice in the Lord. God never moves without purpose or plan. When drying His servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness
He gave her the song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. He knoweth the way of his power that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. I could not be seen through the shadows ahead, so I looked to the cross of my Savior instead. I bowed to the will of the Master that day. Then peace came and tears fled away. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. Know the end of his power that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens his children and purges in love. My Father's the best, and I trust in his care. Through purging more fruit I will bear. The Lord, he makes no mistake. He knows of his power that I take. For when I am pure and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Our Father in heaven, may thy grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each one of us this night and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.